what can, how can we give people the advice on how, you know, taking the steps or really understanding how to do things for the glory of God? Put that in practice in their everyday life to glorify God's name in everything they do.
I think it starts with like service, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, look at things like, who are you helping, right? That's how I would do it. Or read the Bible more. Or pray to God about it. It's kind of like what I would say. What would you say?
I would say, well, a couple things. Reflecting Christ in your character. So, you know, some people have to see something different in you that doesn't belong to the world. Meaning, when they look at you, they've got to notice something that is different apart from the world. And it's not to say that you should do something different for them to notice that in you, but you just have to be the person where when somebody looks at you, they see something different that they do not see in other people, not because you're acting that way, but that's who you are. Mm-hmm. And when people pick up on that, that is a good sign of you being a good disciple of Christ. Because if you don't stand out from everybody else, then you are like everybody else. And as a Christian, if we do follow the teachings of Christ, you won't be that way, because everything that we do testifies against the world. Our lifestyles disprove of what the world is calling us to do.
So therefore, you're automatically going to stand out, not because you're trying.
Yeah, every single of our speech contradicts what the world is chasing, what everybody else who lives in the world chases. The things that we tend to think about, others don't think as deeply. The things that we take seriously and at heart, people don't. The way we love people, others, because of our transformation through Christ in us, it doesn't align with other people's love. Because other people's love in the world is the exchange of love. Mm-hmm. So I love you because there's something about you that I love. It's not close to unconditional love as much as I would want it to be. There's always something that I'm holding on to that I love you for. I wouldn't love you if you, let's say, I wasn't your friend. I wouldn't love you if...
you didn't do this for me.
Yeah, you didn't do this for me. Or I wouldn't love you if you weren't my wife. But I was having this conversation with my friends yesterday too, is when it's hard to talk about these topics if you don't bring up the difference between like heavenly love, which is given to us through Christ, versus the love that anybody can experience, right? Anybody can feel love. It's an emotion. But oftentimes, people have a hard time truly forgiving people who have wronged them. They have a hard time loving somebody who doesn't love them. They have a hard time caring for somebody who could care less about them. And that is where your character in Christ comes through, is do you care? And do you know that you care about that person when you see they don't? Do you want to help them when you see that they could care less on what you're trying to help them with? And are you still going to try your best to be there for that person, even if they don't understand why you are doing what you're doing? And I think there's a different approach that you can take towards that, is a time to step back and time to be in their life. But the idea is still your care from your heart. Is if you lose that and you now have conditioned your care for somebody because of their energy towards you, that means you have now lowered your standards of love that Christ has given us to being deceived by the enemy. You know what I mean? And it's a deep thing to understand. Not everybody will get it. People usually are left confused. But it's the message of the gospel. It simply is. What Christ did on the cross. He forgave his enemies. He forgave people who were cursing him. He forgave people who were mocking him. People didn't understand why he would tell them the things he would about hell or heaven. People still think. I mean, look at the comment that we got from the other day, right? On our comment section. Is people look at Christ's message as a fear-mongering type of thing, where he's pushing people towards fear, but this type of fear where it's like he just wants control, or people have thought about, okay, what if he was this guy who just wanted influence and all that stuff, but then every other evidence within the context of his story tells you the opposite. If he wants all that authority, why does he do things the way he does? Why does he voluntarily go on the cross.
Because those people,
to forgive people,
you have zero IQ. That's it.
Yeah.
You can't think, bro. Really, like, come on. If you can't see a simple story when it's given in that context and you want to interpret it however and you're interpreting it exactly the opposite of what it is, you just don't think. Like, I'll be honest. Like, it's just
the confusion.
Confusion? They just don't want to see it like that. They don't want to think. Some people are like that, Sadullah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, of course.
They just don't want to think.
Of course. There's also this aspect where people are not misinformed. But people are misinformed because of what they hear.
But that's also their fault because they have to think about this. Like, why is this person saying this? And they have to read it themselves. They can just listen to the world and be lied to. That's their own responsibility to. Like, if I'm getting lied to, that's my responsibility to understand if somebody's lying to me or not. I can't always depend on the world to not lie to me, right?
Yeah.
Even though we live in a disagreement and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
They know, like, even if they don't know about the Bible, religious, or this stuff, they know other things. They know the system is built to lie to them. So if they know that's built on lies, then they also have to question other things too, which automatically comes with the human beings.
Do you see that like in your day-to-day life, or like when you just go out in the world, you just see people react, I guess, towards other people, how they treat other people? And it can be very subtle.
Like both ways, good and bad?
Yeah, like towards how much they care for that person, or because somebody's random, they don't really care. But with us, like, there's really nobody that's really random. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we understand that everybody's God's people at the end of the day. Yeah. You don't see that until you have the Holy Spirit in you, because you don't have that changed heart. Mm-hmm.
Perspective. We see it a lot through, like, being prejudiced, being racist, like, seeing, like, other... Like, for example, the whole idea with, like, other races and, like, they have, like, stereotypes. It's like, no, it's like you don't even know them and you're, like, already judging them. It's like being mean towards people. It's, like, one way.
Yeah.
Or just someone just randomly, and you're just judging them right off the bat, right?
Yeah, it could just be like very, very subtle things. Yeah, that like you tend to notice when you understand the difference between how things are being viewed in the world by people who are not saved and people who are saved and people who have the Holy Spirit and people who don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just really not that hard to tell. I mean, for example. It's just a simple matter of, and it doesn't have to be about like being born again or having a Holy Spirit or not, but it's just a simple matter of, I mean, look, the other day we were playing soccer, right? And then this one of our friend was filling up the water and the other guy offered, he said, can I have a sip? But it was like one of those bottles where you can just squeeze in. You don't even need to put your lips on the, you know, it has like the top.
With a Gatorade bottle or something?
Yeah, something like that, but a little bit different. Yeah, that's the point. Is you can just squeeze it and drink it. And previously, before this other guy who he just met that day, his friend asked him for a sip, and he said no to him. But then this other guy, who he didn't really know that well, asked him for it, and he goes, well, I didn't give it to my friend. Why would I give it to you? So it's like they already have this understanding that because I didn't show the love to you, and since you're my friend, of course I wouldn't do it to the random person. So now I have just differentiated my care and love and affection because somebody's my friend versus somebody who is random. But it doesn't look like God commands us that way. He doesn't tell us to differentiate people from where they are in our lives. We are supposed to love each other and care for each other the same way, whether it's random or not. And that is where it's difficult.
It's a different type of love. It's not like a love of me having towards you because we're friends. We know each other for a long time. But the fact that he's still a random, that I don't know him, but I'm still not supposed to be resentment towards him. You know what I mean? That's a resentment if you think about it, what he just told, the story. Like your resentment towards him because he's random. If he was your friend, he probably wouldn't be the same way. So in the sense, we shouldn't have that resentment hard because we don't know somebody. Like same thing with what you brought up with racism too. Like you're already judging someone because they're black. Because they're Asian. I don't know.
Does that example make sense or no?
Yeah.
Like, let's say your friend asks you for money. Let's say your friend asks you for $100.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not and you don't give it to him. And then next thing you know, a random person comes up to you and asks you for money. But you say, well, I didn't give it to my friend. Why would I give it to you?
Yeah, you're already making that differentiation.
Right, yeah. So that's kind of like where I was going with that.
Yeah.